It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast as we cover the latest property news every morning on iHeartRadio, Spotify and Apple, and of course wherever you get your podcasts from. It is a Saturday morning, November the 25th, another weekend of real estate around Australia, and the start of spring. Now, it seems like a long time ago. The temperatures have certainly moved, and Perth experiencing already some very big heat days. Now, we will check out the weather in just a moment around the country, but if you are attending an auction today, just make sure that you stay hydrated. You don't want to be fainting like Tara Kelly told us last week about somebody doing exactly that. Well, let's go across the Tasman and to Wellington to Gareth Kernan. He is the chief forecaster at Infometrics. And a very good morning to you, Gareth. Welcome to the Real Estate Breakfast. How are your temperatures at the moment faring?
Well, I was in Melbourne last week, actually, and it's not too dissimilar here in Wellington. I was a bit disappointed by the weather in Melbourne, not quite as warm as I'd expected. But yeah, we're heating up, although expecting a colder weather, I think, later in the weekend here.
Yeah, well, Perth, of course, they've been having some 36, I think, 39 the other day. You're not quite there yet.
No, 39 would be too much for us Kiwis, that's for sure.
Yeah, so with the lead up to spring here in Australia, Gareth, property prices in most parts of Australia were increasing, boosting confidence among property owners to list. New Zealand has been, though, in somewhat of the doldrums for a very long time, for a big part of 2023. We have heard some commentators talking about the property market there now heading up in prices, and that people should be buying. But is that a case, or is it just a bump in some of your markets and not the overall trend? So what's happening?
Yeah, firstly, if we look at a nationwide level, there has been, I guess, a definite turning point in the housing market through the course of this year. We've seen sales volumes, which are running about 30% higher than where they were at the end of the last year, still well down from their peak in 2020, but there has been an improvement there. That trend has been ratified or backed up by an improvement in prices as well. Over the last 5 to 6 months, we've seen prices edge up by around about 3%, which is not a big lift. They're still, again, down 14 to 15% from where they were at the end of 2021 when the market peaked. If we look at a regional level and around the country, though, what we're seeing is that this sort of turning point in the market has been driven primarily by migration. We've got a very strong inflow of migrants into the country at the moment, and they're helping to fill many of those critical labour shortages that developed during COVID when our borders were shut for such a long period of time. The issue with migration, though, is that typically, we see those migrants settling in Auckland, firstly, and some of the other main urban centres as well. Certainly not as strong inflows going into many of the provincial markets where, you know, there was some substantial run-ups in prices during COVID, and then those markets have come under pressure. So, yeah, at the moment, it is largely an Auckland story. It's spreading across the country, but Auckland seems to be leading the way at the moment.
All right, we'll come back and we'll talk more to Gareth on our Saturday morning real estate. We'll do that next.
Let's explore together the power of real estate. We keep you better informed and updated.
Hey, good morning to you, Bevan. Thank you for your email there in Perth. You live in the suburb of Nedlands, which I hadn't heard of before, but you are a daily listener of the Real Estate Podcast, along with your wife, Beth, who is having a birthday today on November the 25th. And Beth is turning 52, so many happy returns. Amy Grant, the singer, is also celebrating today, turning 61, and Christina Applegate, she's turning the big 5-0.
It's the main centre forecast.
And around the country, let's check on your weather. Good morning. If you are in Sydney, expecting a cloudy day with possible showers and a high of 27. Melbourne, expect the rain, 25. Brisbane, that's the place to be today. Fine weather with a reasonable temperature, 27. Where it is unreasonable is in Perth today, expecting plenty of sunshine and 39 degrees.
Every week, unravel the real estate market to empower your real estate knowledge.
And it's a weekend, another Saturday morning real estate day, and we are back with Gareth Kernan, the chief forecaster of Infometrics in Wellington there in New Zealand. And Gareth, Australia's cash rate at the moment is 4.35, yours is 5.6%, which indicates they're saying effectiveness in the Reserve Bank interest rate hikes, a forecast that sees it reaching its target band of 3% by early 2025. There's been a lot of calls here from some economists that we're just not high enough at the moment in terms of the cash rate. And I think New Zealand is a good one to look at because yours is higher and you're starting to come out of what has been a difficult year.
Yeah, it is interesting for us looking across the Tasman at just, I guess, how slow and how reluctant the Reserve Bank of Australia has been to move interest rates higher compared to us in New Zealand, but also compared to some of the other major economies overseas, such as the US with the Federal Reserve. There are definite signs in New Zealand that inflation is now coming under control. I mean, I know both globally and domestically, there are still concerns that the thing that inflation could linger for some time. And like you say, early 2025, it could even be a little bit longer before we get inflation back within the target band. But yes, if the RBA doesn't raise rates any further from here, then it will be interesting just to see how long those inflationary pressures persist over there in Australia as well.
Now, I just want to come back to the property investor bright line tax. This is something that I think was taken away under the previous government. Just tell us about what's happening in terms of that, because we do have Australian investors who do invest in New Zealand, so they'll be interested to know.
Yeah, so National introduced the bright line test back in, I think, 2015, I think it was, where basically if you were purchasing a property or you owned a property that wasn't your family home and you sold it again within 2 years, you had to pay tax on any capital gains that might have occurred during that time. Labor extended the time frame from 2 to 5 years when they came into power back in 2018, and then again in 2021 extended it further to a 10-year test. So that's quite a long time as an investor, that if you're purchasing a property, you have to basically guarantee that you're going to hold on to it if you don't want to face that capital gains tax. National, ahead of our recent election, campaigned on bringing the bright line test back down from 10 years to 2 years, which is obviously a much shorter time frame, and that could well spark, I think even ahead of the election, we saw that starting to spark more investor interest in the New Zealand market on the expectation that National would get into power, that they would reduce that length of time, and that people would therefore, as investors, be able to sort of start chasing capital gains again potentially and not face a hefty tax bill when they ended up selling that property.
Yeah, it's an interesting policy that your Labor Party brought in, because mum and dad investors, I mean, they make up a lot of these investment properties, and to move that to 10 years and to include it for being taxed, one would think that, yeah, a lot of the vote might have gone to the other party.
It could well have had an influence in there. I mean, gosh, people tend to vote in a self-interested way sometimes. But we also have had a lot of concern in New Zealand about our housing market over the last few years and about just how overvalued property has been. So I think there was also a reasonable core of support for more stringent tax rules around investors, because there was a sense that people were betting on the property market going up. That's all well and good. And then, you know, making some pretty big windfall gains along the way and not being taxed for it. So if they were able to get into the market that way and sort of act in that fashion, able to make almost tax-free money, whereas for the your average wage and salary worker, obviously, they have to pay tax on every cent they earn. There's no avoiding it.
So what is the sentiment of the market at the moment? Is it sort of starting to look a little bit more positive? Of course, spring always helps.
Yeah, I think the market is turning up, even if you sort of take out the factor of spring and moving into the warmer weather. There has been a pickup in demand. It's not massively strong, still sort of weaker than historical averages overall. But, you know, that market was looking pretty dire towards the end of 22 and just no buyers out there and prices continuing to come under some pretty significant downward pressure. So, yeah, it does look to have been a turning point recently. And that has been driven, in our view, primarily by some very strong migration inflows. You know, we've got people coming into the country at a record rate, rates we've never seen before. So that has meant that ultimately those people need somewhere to live, whether that's in a rental property or whether they're buying their own home a few months after they've been here.
So just sticking with property, what's the prediction in Q1 of 2024, do you think?
I think through the end of this year and then even probably throughout all of 2024, we are expecting some upward pressure on prices and sales activity to continue. We are expecting demand to, continue to strengthen from here. It is interesting when you look around the range of forecasters for the New Zealand housing market. In recent months, people have been revising their forecasts up, and there's probably no doubt around that. But it's just to what extent house prices can potentially be bid up from here. We've still got mortgage rates. While our Reserve Bank may have finished lifting the official cash rate, there's no expectation of cuts happening anytime before the middle of next year, and it could well be the end of 2024 before cuts start. So mortgage rates are still going to remain relatively high. So those debt servicing costs are going to remain high, and we know that as prices rose substantially and then mortgage rates followed through 2021 and 2022, that those debt servicing costs were a real factor in terms of just how much people could actually afford to pay for property, knowing that they would have a big debt to service as those mortgage rates rose. So we're pretty skeptical, I think, in terms of how far house prices can rise and how fast they can go from here. We're forecasting house price rises of around about 4-5% throughout 2024. It could be more, but if it is, it suggests to me there's a lack of sustainability in the market there. And it could well, you know, if those mortgage rates remain high, could well lead to a bit of a drop off in prices again, if things again get too expensive for people.
And Gareth, finally, they have managed to form this coalition party between three players, the National Party, the ACT Party, and New Zealand First.
Yeah, so they finally got themselves across the line in terms of agreeing on the policy agenda and agreeing on the ministerial position. So we're starting to get a bit more clarity in terms of where that government policy will go to from here. Expectations of further announcements, I think significant announcements before Christmas. Probably one of the biggest keys when you look at the property market is just some of the concessions that National has had to put in place in terms of what they were hoping to do prior to the election and then what the other partners, particularly New Zealand First, acting just as somewhat of a handbrake in terms of limiting potentially foreign buyers coming into the market. That was a policy around tax that National had been campaigning on, and it does look like that one's not going to progress too much further while Winston Peters has any say in the matter.
Yes, Winston Peters, he is a wily character, and one gets the impression if he is anywhere near leadership over a three-year period, there's going to be some highs and some very low lows with this coalition party, potentially.
Yeah, there's been some volatile times in the past. We look back to him being in coalition government in the 96 to 99 period and again to 2005 through to 2008. And neither of those periods ended particularly well for the government, both kind of falling apart and then getting voted out of power as well.
All right, well, we'll leave it there, Gareth. Quite a bit of information coming across the Tasman on our Saturday morning. I'll let you enjoy your weekend, and thanks for coming on to the Real Estate Breakfast this morning.
My pleasure, Craig. Thanks for your time.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia, The Real Estate Podcast.